Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. It's good to be in the house of God in your church. I want to thank the church for the opportunity my family had last week to go spend some time down at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. That was, of course, the wonderful gift that you guys gave to us at Christmas time last year. And it was a real blessing for us to be able to go and take that time as a family. I got to hold a great big old snake, or help hold. It was about 120 pounds. I couldn't get Miss Amy to do it, but hey, there's always next time, right? She said no. All right. But it was a wonderful time. First time that our family had been able to see the Ark. First time, I believe, Amy and the kids have been able to go to the Creation Museum. So just a real blessing. And church, thank you for allowing us that opportunity. We are here this morning because we desire to lift high the resurrected Savior. Amen. That's our theme for the year. The theme is simply that He must increase. And one of the ways we are looking to work through that and develop that in our hearts and lives is we are currently unpacking the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. And we see where the Lord Jesus Christ, a couple weeks ago, said, I am the bread of life. This week we see He says, I am the light of the world. In the weeks to come, we'll see that He says that I am the door. I am the good shepherd. We'll see that He says that I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And I want you to see the beauty of these statements, because Jesus is declaring Himself to be the sovereign, self-efficient sum total of all humanity's needs. Amen. To the hungry soul, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. To the lost soul needing direction, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. To the outcast soul, the hopeless soul, the hurting soul, He says, I am the door. Come on in. And I'm the good shepherd where you can find care and rest. To the dying soul, Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and the life. And what we're going to find that as we lift up Jesus, as we allow Jesus to increase in our hearts and lives, that we will find that He is everything we could ever need. And as we consider these statements, we're reminded that Jesus was declaring Himself sovereign, eternal, almighty God. But He's given us these metaphors to help us. This will be a little bit of review. We covered it 2 weeks ago. That Jesus gives us these I am statements, number one, to help us discover Him. So why does Jesus give us these I am statements? To help us. Number two, He gives us these I am statements to help us to desire Him. So not only to better depend on Him or discover Him, but to desire Him. And number three, He gives us these I am statements to help us to depend on Him. So we've got discover Him, desire Him, and depend on Him. So why does Jesus give us these I am statements? To help us to discover Him, to and to depend on Him. Let me ask you, anybody here ever at one time or another afraid of the dark? Anybody? 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 Okay. We've got some brave souls that are willing to admit that at one time or another you were afraid of the dark. That's basically a kid thing, so sometimes an adult thing. I won't tell if it is, okay? Your secret's safe with me. But it's one of those matters where if you're afraid of the dark and you get ready to go to bed, what do you need to do? You need to make sure the closet door is all the way closed. Because if the closet door is open, the monster can get out. But if it's closed, you're okay, right? You're afraid of the dark and you climb in bed. I mean, it's hands, arms, and legs inside the bed at all times, right? Because we know there's not just one in the closet. There's one under the bed. So we got to protect those appendages. You know, it's a common fear of kids, which is why Amy and I over the years have bought a lot of these. Nightlights. Now, nowadays, they're super fancy. They got the little thing on the front that lets it know how dark it is, so it turns on all by itself at night, and it doesn't even have a bulb inside. It just has one of those little LED diode type things, or whatever you want to call it. And so it's real fancy, but it is amazing. It's amazing how a little bit of light makes all the difference. It's amazing how a little bit of light makes all the difference. You know, darkness is a real issue, not only physically, but more so even spiritually. And when Jesus declares, I am the light of the world, He does so because we live in a very dark world. We live in a world that is dominated by darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 refers to the rulers of darkness of this present world. Proverbs 4 and verse number 19 puts it like this: the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. But here's the good news. Hey, I got good news this morning, amen. I got good news, and that good news is we can be free from this darkness. Yeah. The Bible says in Colossians 1 in verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, speaking of Jesus Christ, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hey, we don't have to live in darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness. We can have light. This light is found for us in the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse number 12. When Jesus declares, would you read it with me this morning? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want you to notice first from this passage this morning, and again, don't get too excited. I know it's just one verse, but many of you have been around long enough to know the length of the passage doesn't necessarily dictate the length of the sermon, amen? And so, one verse this morning, but here we go. I want you to notice, first of all, the undeniable identity found in this verse. The undeniable identity found in this verse. That is simply this: Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. It's a declaration for every one of us to hear. You know, Jesus doesn't mince a lot of words. He comes out very clearly, very plainly with what he has to say. He says, I am the light of the world. I want you to notice first that this is an exclusive identity. This is an exclusive identity that God always had and God always will have the exclusive corner on light. That light is always associated with God's presence and God's power. It is God's nature. He is the originator of life. You go all the way back to Genesis 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know what there wasn't at this point in Genesis 1 and verse number 3? There wasn't a sun. There wasn't a moon. There wasn't stars. There didn't need to be because God is light. Amen. And so he is the originator of light. Hey, I got good news. When all of this is wrapped up and all of this is said and done, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the sole source of light for eternity to come. You go over to Revelation 21 in verse number 23, the Bible says, speaking of heaven, that heavenly city, New Jerusalem, that this city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb, and the Lamb, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You think about this. God always has and always will have an exclusive corner on light. From beginning to end and everywhere in between, Jesus is the light. Jesus, the living word, is the light of God to all men. The Gospel of John opens this way. John 1 verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse number 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let me make this statement this morning about this exclusive identity. Jesus doesn't lead to light. Jesus does not lead to light. He is light. And there's a difference. Jesus is the light. He is the light. There is no other light. You know, there are a lot of things out there that propose to have a lot of help, to have a lot of, you go to the self-help sections and you go to the gurus and the talk you up and talk you down and all over the place. And everybody's got 5 steps to your most fulfilled life ever. And they claim to have light. They claim to have light. But you know what you find if you walk down any of those roads? Is that they really don't have the light that they claim to have. Because there is one source of light. And what we find in this world is that any other supposed dawn is actually just acclimation to the darkness. It's kind of like this. You ever been in a restaurant that's dimly lit? You know, maybe, man, you took your special lady somewhere romantic and it was dimly lit. I don't know, maybe you took her somewhere shady and they just couldn't replace the light bulbs and it was dimly lit. But you took your lady somewhere that was dimly lit and you walk in and you're almost taken aback by how hard it is to see. I mean, you get to the table and you're thinking, you know what, this is going to be one of those instances where we eat by faith and not by sight. But by the time you leave the restaurant, what happens? You can see a little better. You can see a little more clearly. Let me ask you, has any greater light been introduced into that scenario? You've just become acclimated to the darkness. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It is an exclusive declaration. He doesn't lead to light. He is the light of God. There's no confusion about who Jesus is. He's not some radical. He's not just some rebel. He's not just some moralist or good teacher. He is the light of God. Amen. To the world. We see that this is an exclusive declaration. But I also want you to see this. This is an expansive direction. Jesus doesn't just say that he is the light. He says that he is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. And I want you to understand this morning that the light of Jesus Christ isn't just something for you and I. The light of Jesus Christ is something for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has ever been born on this earth. The light of Christ is for all. You know, that was God's plan long before Jesus ever physically set foot on this earth. You go back hundreds of years before his birth to the prophets, like Isaiah chapter 42 in verse number 6, where God says of Messiah, he says of Jesus, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles or to the nations. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 in verse number 9, where we've been, the Bible puts it this way. That was the true light, which lighteth, what's those next two words, church? Every man that cometh into the world. Can I stop and remind us for just a moment that his purpose to be the light of the world, to seek and to save that which was lost, has become the church's commission? That his Spirit, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, that the Holy Spirit within us should radiate his light through us to this darkened world. You know, that's the picture Jesus painted in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14, where he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse number 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me make a statement here as we look at this unmistakable identity that Jesus is the light of the world. But that light, Jesus, the light of the world, was not given to us to pander us, but to fulfill God's purpose through us. Amen. The undeniable identity. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. Let me go a little farther in this verse together. Mr. Brown, do you think we can get a little air on in here? That'd be a wonderful thing. Too much hot air at the front. That's the problem. So number one, we see the undeniable identity. But number two, I want you to see the unavoidable invitation. Verse number 12, let's read it a little more. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. You know, the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. Can I put it this way? That the declaration of Jesus Christ demands a decision by every man. The declaration of Jesus Christ demands a decision by every man. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. I want you to note first that this is a personal decision. Let me give you a little something about light. Light reveals reality. Light reveals reality. True of both physical light and of spiritual light. In Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 13, we see it put this way. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so light reveals reality. And as each of us come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, it is the choice of each man as to how he, a singular identity, will respond to the light. How he will respond to Christ. The declaration of Jesus demands a decision. Now let me go a little farther with this. I need you to think with me. Indecision is still a decision. You see, there are a lot of people who, when they are confronted with Jesus Christ, they'll say something to themselves like, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe next year. Maybe when my family situation is different. Maybe when I've gotten over this issue. Maybe, and we put a time on it. Just not now. Indecision is a decision. In fact, the reality is, any decision to walk away from the light is a rejection of the light and is choosing increased darkness. The Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Because when they knew God, they had light. They had light. They were confronted with light. They glorified him not as God. They rejected the light. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, to reject the light is actually to choose increasing darkness. And in love, I want you to know today that this is reality, whether we like it or not. That this is reality, whether it makes us feel good inside or not. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that Jesus' declaration demands a decision. And any decision other than to receive that light is a rejection of that light and a choice for increased darkness. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do? He calls us to turn to him. He calls us to repent, to place our faith and trust in him as our Savior. It's not just that you believe that there is light, but that you receive that light as Lord and Savior. You recognize that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You recognize that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Amen. You know, there are a lot of people out there that hope they're going to go to heaven one day. There are a lot of people out there that think they're going to go to heaven. They might be 50% sure or 75% sure or 90% sure. There's a lot of people who look at their neighbor and says, yep, I'm doing better than so-and-so. So as long as we're next to each other in line at the judgment, I'll probably be okay. There are a lot of people who think a whole lot of things for a whole lot of reasons. We are simply called to accept the light. Amen. To receive God's light, the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a hope so, think so, maybe so, might so salvation. God has given us a no so salvation. So we see the personal decision that every one of us is faced with, to receive the light of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But I also want you to notice in this portion here that it's not just a personal decision, it's a perpetual decision. Jesus says, "He that followeth me." Now that E-T-H and followeth is good old King James for what we would modern understand as I-N-G. And so it has the idea of an ongoing, perpetual action. It is a perpetual decision. In other words, can I put it this way? Following the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of life. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of life. That we place our faith in Him, you with me? And then we passionately follow Him every step of the way. That when Jesus talks about he that followeth me, he's not so much talking about a decision past as much as he is talking about a daily pursuit. He that followeth me. Now here's the challenging part. Because there are many who name the name of Christ who live in some sort of weird evangelical autopilot. And we think that just because our life isn't falling apart, and we think that just because we aren't involved in some weird, gross sin, or some weird, gross sin that other people know about, that we're doing okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the case. The Christian life, Christianity, following the Lord Jesus Christ, was never meant to be lived on autopilot. It never was. It was meant to be lived in daily, passionate pursuit of Him. You see, what happens is we get spotted by this world. And we begin to filter the light of Christ through other things. You know, a funny thing happens when we filter light through other mediums. Often we end up with some sort of distortion. We end up with some sort of optical illusion of sorts. I think we have a picture back there. We're going to throw up on the screens. Hopefully it works. And you look at that. Now, how many of you think that that straw is actually broken in half? How many of you think, or you realize, you remember from high school science class, that it's because when the light is filtered through the water and the light is filtered through the glass, something funny called refraction happens. And what we now see doesn't match reality anymore. See, hear me, light reveals reality. But when you and I go on evangelical autopilot and we just get up and casually follow the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what starts to happen? We start to process the light. Oh, leave that up there for me. That's great. We start to process the light through other things. And you see, when I take the light of Christ and I want to process it through my finances, I no longer am looking at reality. When I take the light of Christ and I want to process it through my politics, I'm no longer looking at reality. When I take the light of Christ and I want to make it fit my wants, my lusts, my lifestyle, I'm no longer looking at reality. You see, hear me, church. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a personal decision. It is a perpetual decision. And we are to follow the light of Christ. Follow the light of Christ. Hear me now, Christian. The Bible says for those of us who've fallen asleep, who've gone on some sort of autopilot, the Bible has an admonition for you and I. Ephesians 5 and verse number 14 says this. We can go ahead. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Wake up. Wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Gotta tell you something about light. Light always puts darkness on its heels. I opened my door last night and walked outside after the sun went down. And can I tell you what happened? Light poured out. Darkness did not pour in. Because light always puts darkness on its heels. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who've just gotten so comfortable. And if we would just allow the Lord to wake us up, we would see that we are not passionately following the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are relying on some decision past as opposed to some sort of daily pursuit. Passionately return to following Jesus Christ today. Ephesians 5 and verse number 8 puts it this way. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You with me this morning, church? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We saw, first of all, we saw the undeniable identity that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. It is an absolute exclusive declaration. There is no other. He is the light of the world. We saw an unavoidable invitation that the declaration of Jesus demands a decision. The declaration of Jesus demands a decision. The declaration of Jesus demands a decision, a personal decision and a perpetual decision. Can I show you finally this morning the unmistakable importance? The unmistakable importance. Verse number 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can I show you why this is important this morning? First, because it's the promise of divine protection. The Bible gives us a precious promise here that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall not. Shall not. Can you say it with me, church? Shall not. Shall not. Say it with me. Shall not. Shall not. There are not a lot of guarantees in this world. But mark it down, that's a guarantee. That God has looked at us and said, those who follow me shall not walk in darkness. It is an impossibility. But as we who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he will always be the light that we need. Psalm 18 and verse number 28 puts it this way. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. What did James write? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. You know what happens when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? We walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we are protected from the danger and deception of darkness. You know what I did last night? We're in the process of remodeling a few rooms. So that means moving furniture. There was a piece of furniture in one room that we had to move to the bedroom. And when it was first proposed that we move it to the bedroom, I said, I don't know that we should put it there because I know what's going to happen. I am going to destroy my shins and knees on this piece of furniture when I get up. Well, guess what we did? Yesterday afternoon, we moved it into the bedroom. 2:30 last night, guess what I did? Ow! Oh. Yep, nice, right across the old knee. It was great. It was great. Because, you know, there's something about darkness that brings with it deception. That brings with it danger. But when you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? We shall not walk in darkness. How about that, church? You know what that leads me to believe? That leads me to believe the only reason that you and I would not yearn for the full light of Jesus Christ in every area of our life is because we already know that our life doesn't line up like it should. The only reason that we would not yearn for divine protection, divine guidance from deception and danger is because we know that those areas in our lives already don't line up with God's word like they should. You know, Jesus himself puts it this way in John 3, beginning in verse number 19. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What a simple but powerfully convicting thought. That the reason we do not yearn for light is because in those areas of our life we love darkness. You see, the Bible is not just, the light of Christ, let me put it this way, is not just available to all, but it's available to every area of our lives. You see, yes, teenagers, the Bible says, it gives great insight, great wisdom, great understanding about our relationship to our parents in our teenage years. It gives great guidance and precept as far as our relationships to the opposite sex in our teenage years. It gives us moms and dads, husbands and wives, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous instruction as to how we are to operate our marriages even through the difficult times. It gives us instruction as to how we are to handle hurts, how we are to talk to one another. And by the way, how we are to talk and interact with one another can also be applied to how we post to one another on the internet. You see, it's not just available to every man, it's available to every area. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things to light that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, if you really want the light, it's there. And it's available for you. And yes, it's available for you in that area. And he offers here divine protection because there is just something, 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 something. Even when it's hard, even when it goes against the grain, even when nobody understands, there's something about knowing that you are walking in the light. And you are protected from danger or deception. An unmistakable importance. It offers divine protection, but also divine promise. You see the end of the verse, that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, light brings blessing, amen? Amen. Light gives life. The grass is growing. The flowers are blooming, except when it snows. Light brings joy. You know, there is something about a bright, sunny day that cannot be denied. We know this, especially here in Northwest Ohio, amen? Hallelujah, I by faith believe that spring is coming. Here, Christ promises that we would have the light, the joy, the blessings, the fulfillment of life. But let me help you understand something today. This blessing of life, this joy, this light is not a promise from God that you will necessarily be able to add more commas to your bank account one day. It's not that. It's not the promise that you will always be healthy, wealthy, and wise so long as you follow him. It's not the promise that your next car will be that dream car, or that your life will be without struggle. This blessing, this joy, this life, this light is simply the guaranteed promise of God that you will always have all that you need to accomplish all of God's good and perfect will for your life. It is the guarantee that there is no life like the abundant life following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, outside of Christ, the ceiling for life, the ceiling for joy, the ceiling for fulfillment is so low. You might not believe me this morning, but can I read the statement of one who's there? This statement comes from an interview that Tom Brady did with 60 Minutes a number of years ago. It does pain me to say that Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He has had multiple franchises built around him. He has a multi-million-dollar contract, numerous endorsements, a seemingly healthy, happy family. On the weekends, literally hundreds of thousands of people worship him and chant his name. But I want you to hear the words of someone who has had everything this world can offer. At that time, he said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? He now has 6, for those of you who are wondering. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there is something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I've reached my goal, my dream, my life. But me, I think, man, it's got to be more to this than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I'm going to tell you, there's a good chance that they're going to build a statue of that man outside of a stadium one day. They're not going to build a statue of you outside of your place of work. All right? He's made more money than your wildest dreams put together. And he looks at it all, and like Solomon of old, he says, vanity of vanity, it's all empty. This can't be all there is, because the ceiling for life and joy and peace and fulfillment outside of Christ is so low. But Christ said, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Hear me, church, into this world of darkness, into this world of deception, into this world of despair, King Jesus speaks. And he says, I am the light of the world. Amen. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this morning, every one of us is faced with that light. And we are faced with an unavoidable invitation to accept or reject it. You know, when I was in college, I've shared this before, but it bears repeating today. When I was in college, many, 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 many summers, I worked the third shift, 9P to 7A. And so I got off when the sun came up. It wasn't ideal, but you get used to it, right, third shifters? Kind of, you get used to it. So I got off when the sun came up. Problem was, my room at the time was on the east side of the house. We didn't have none of those fancy, like, blackout blinds. So when I was wanting to go down, the sun was wanting to come up. When I was wanting to close the world away, the sun was wanting to come in. Wake up! It's day! So much to do, so much opportunity, so much life! So much life. And I struggled with that for a while until I figured something out. Now I brought this from home. This is mine. It's very special to me. It's got Olaf on the back. You know what I learned? I learned pretty quickly that when the light came in, I could take this pillow and lay it right over my eyes. And when I laid the pillow right over my eyes, it didn't matter what the sun did. Oh, because I couldn't see it. In fact, I slept like that so long and so often that this day I often still sleep with a pillow over my face. Made me nervous when I got the life insurance policy, but so far so good. And I would come home, and I would lay down and I'd put the pillow over my face and I'd put my arms up and I'd press it over my face. You know what? It didn't matter how sunny it was outside. Honestly, it didn't matter if somebody came in my room and turned my light on. Because I wasn't going to see the light. You see, let me ask you, was the light still there? Yeah. I had just chosen not to see it. You know, our flesh is weak, is it not? Our flesh is fragile and our flesh is comfortable and our flesh is frail and our flesh doesn't like the light. So you know what we're prone to do? When we're faced with the light, when we're faced with the reality that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's a light that's available to all men. It's a light that's available to every area. And sometimes it hits us in such a way where we're like, just want to be comfortable where I'm at. So you know what we're prone to do? We're prone to take our pride. We're prone to take our sin. We're prone to take our own will, our own wants, our own desires, our own dreams. We're prone to say, I just want to be here a little bit longer. I just want to be here a little bit longer. I want to tell you this morning, it's not that light's not available to you. It's not that the light of Christ is not available to each and every one of us. It's a matter of whether or not some of us are going to be willing to take the pillow off our eyes this morning and to receive the light of Christ. I'm going to tell you, the light hasn't gone away. The light hasn't gone away. In fact, the darker the world gets, the brighter the light shines. Amen. I don't know what you need this morning, but I do know what the answer to that need is. Jesus said, I, say it with me, am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Would you stand with me together this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed? Church, right now is our opportunity to respond to the light of Christ. Right now is that opportunity to respond to Him. I wonder this morning if we would have Christians from all over the sanctuary come and just commit themselves and say, I'm going to follow passionately, daily, pursue the light of Christ, come what may. I wonder if we'd have some this morning come even now and say, Lord, I have willfully blocked you out of my life, but today I'm taking the blinders off. I'm receiving your light for my life. Wonder if there'd be some this morning who would say, you know what, I got to get past this, hope so, think so, maybe so. I'm going to come to the place where I personally receive the light of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you respond to God today?